Yes, indeed, and thanks to the help we get, you get, from Dan Burns, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in beautiful St. Paul on Grand Avenue. Good morning to you, Dan Burns.
Good morning, Denny Long.
How are things at Lloyd's this past week? A little busy as usual?
Well, we are lucky in that we're able to stay busy. I think that, you know, with traffic volume being down and so forth, with that sort of stuff going on, maybe volume, you know, any kind of car-related volume is down a little bit. But we've been able to hold our own, and we're doing fine.
Did you have a chance to get out on the roads yet this morning, or is that yet to happen?
That is yet to happen.
Yeah, me too. I'm not getting any reports at all of any freezing drizzle or, you know, slick spots as yet. But stay tuned. We'll keep you posted. If you have any kind of a car care question, if you need to bring in your vehicle to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop for some service, but you want to know ahead of time what could be ailing it, call Dan or text Dan. It's the same number, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. I wanted to, and we'll do that maybe in a little bit, talk to you because I was looking at your Facebook information, as I always do, and you had a deal about batteries. And maybe we can talk about batteries in the wintertime and what can happen, what we can do about that. But in the meantime, let's open up the phone lines. And the text line, as I said, is the same number, 651-989-9226. Did get a text earlier this morning, Dan, about, you know, we unfortunately talk about the theft of catalytic converters on the show from time to time. And this texter wants to know, does Lloyd's install those theft prevention kits?
We have. There's some people preventatively have bought some sort of kit on the internet. There's some different types that fit different cars. For example, a Prius has this tin plate that actually bolts right on. That's actually pretty slick. And we have installed a few of those. And then on a number of cars, we've actually manufactured a deal using some cables and some different things and welded them to the pipes so that if they do get under there, it's just, you know, unless they have the right tools, it's just too complicated. So when they get under the car and see that, they just move on to the next one.
Hmm.
So, yes. And, you know, I'm hesitant to sell that system myself because if I sell it, people expect it a warranty on it and that their catalytic converter won't get stolen. And, of course, I can't warranty that.
No, of course
and
not.
So I just have to be very, very careful about installing them. But especially the ones where people buy themselves and just ask us to install them. Normally, we don't install customer-supplied parts. But in a situation like that, we'd be happy to do that.
Okay, well, just one, and I hate to ask this, but are you at Lloyd's still seeing stolen catalytic converters?
We are, and it's random and strange, and honestly, one morning, a neighbor's car was parked out on Chatsworth, the side street for Lloyd's Automotive, one of my employees happened to be coming to work, and he heard something going on underneath the car. And sure enough, they were under there trying to steal their converter. So, of course, he scared them off, luckily, and they didn't end up getting it. But yeah, they're very, very bold, which is which is disheartening to me. I don't like to see this going on in our cities.
No, no one does. Except the scofflaws, I guess. Say, I tell you what, let's go to the phones, and we do have an open line if you want to call in your question. Otherwise, just send a text like other folks are doing. Stan is first up here in Ramsey. Stan, you are on CCO with Dan Burns.
Well, good morning. My granddaughter's got an 05 Escape, and about a year ago, it wouldn't turn over in the morning. It was cold out, and they jumped it. It still wouldn't turn, so they took it in and they put a rebuilt starter in. To make a long story short, they put about three or four rebuilt starters in, and they all went within a week or so. Finally, they went and got a new one and had it put in, and that one worked until now. It's doing the same thing again. There's something that's causing those starters to go, and I was just wondering if you had any idea.
Well, this, a couple of things. One is I would...
Starters to go on. I was just wondering if you had any idea.
Well, this, a couple of things. One is I would... that's an unusual story that the starters failed, that many starters failed that quickly. And it sounds like when the starter fails, it doesn't, does it click or anything? Does it make any noise or is it just no noise at all?
Not much. It just kind of gives you that, and that's it, you know?
Oh, so it is the starter itself that's failing. So
yeah.
that would be unusual. And I can't, you know, I mean, there's from the battery, there's only 12 volts supplied to the starter, and then there's ground there. So the only thing that it could possibly be, I think, would be as if it's got a power or supply or a ground problem, more likely a ground problem. And maybe they should do some voltage drop tests to see if it's getting power or proper power and proper ground. That's actually a pretty easy test. But yeah, I agree. That's very unusual for it to be eating up starters on its own.
All right, good luck with that, Stan. I want to alert Rod in Orono. You're going to be next on the phone here, so don't go away. And another line is opened up if you want to call in your car care question for Dan or send a text, same number, 651-989-9226. 25 degrees in the Twin Cities. Just a reminder that at least in our neck of the woods, there is a winter weather advisory till 6 tomorrow morning. At least, again, here in the Twin Cities, freezing drizzle, not much snow, however, as far as accumulation, but freezing drizzle, which could make the driving, of course, and walking, for that matter, a little dangerous. So stay tuned, 830-WCCO right now, 25 degrees. We'll be right back. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which is, Dan, located exactly where on Grand?
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and University on Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call as soon as this morning, 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that number before Dan leaves us, which, by the way, will be about 7:45 this morning. So if you have any kind of a car care question, don't wait. Send a text or use the phone. Same number, 651-989-9226. Speaking of the phones, Dan, we promised Rod Noro that he would be next. Thank you for waiting, Rod. What is your question?
Yes, I have a 2015 Hyundai Sonata four-cylinder. And I've had it for 6-8 months, and I'm going to be changing the oil. My question is, which is the best to use? It says on the cap where you put the oil in 520. Can I use 530 or not? Or how about the long mileage oil? Would you suggest using that?
Well, I would use exactly what the manufacturer recommends, which is 520. And, synthetic oil is better than conventional oil, so there's no reason not to use a synthetic oil. And that's actually interesting, Denny. I checked not long ago, just doing a comparison of the price between if you change your oil exactly on the intervals that we would recommend, which is 3,000 miles for a conventional oil or 5,000 miles for a synthetic oil, and for 100,000 miles, if you drove your vehicle, it's actually cheaper to use synthetic oil because of the extended oil change intervals.
Yeah, so, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I happen to use just a car, which uses 4.5 quarts. I didn't check if you had a vehicle that used a larger quantity of oil. But at any rate, I don't think that there's a price incentive anymore because of the extended intervals.
Very good. All right. I know we have a comment about a battery, too. We'll get to. But Bob, I think, is waiting there in Maple Grove to ask you a question. Bob, what's your question for Dan Burns?
Yeah, Dan, I've got a 2016 Mazda 3, bought new, 30,000 miles on it. Recently, I put a new battery in it, installed it, and it's been draining every 2 or 3 days in the garage. It drains it down to nothing, so I can't start it. So I put a voltmeter on it and found out that there is, in fact, a drain. And that particular model or in other Mazdas, all over the Internet and the forums, they're talking about this drain that nobody can find. Can I start pulling fuses? Or is it take more sophisticated?
Yeah. That's exactly what you want to do. Go through the vehicle and make the picture smaller. You have a voltmeter installed, so you've gotten that far. You know how to do that. Now, as you pull fuses, when you pull the fuse that the drain goes away with, then you know you've limited a circuit, which makes it a way smaller puzzle to figure out. And then the process would be to go to the wiring diagram and see what exactly is fed by that circuit and start checking those components, unplugging those components one at a time and see if the draw goes away. But I can understand where an individual would have a difficult time zeroing in on what exactly is causing that problem. But a professional shop would absolutely get to the bottom of it and find out where that's coming from. We deal with that sort of thing all the time.
Very good. I want to alert Sandy in New Hope. You're going to be next on the phone here, so don't go away. Interesting battery story. We're starting to talk about that. This is a battery maintainer story. Texter says, they have two batteries in my boat. One of them lasted 20 years. The other, after 18 years, is still good, and both of them are always on a battery maintainer. He says, just food for thought. How about that?
Yeah. I believe that, and if you recall, Denny, a couple weeks ago, we got the terms mixed up on that.
Oh.
A battery maintainer is the right thing to use if you're going to keep your battery charged over a long period of time, because a battery maintainer shuts itself off when the battery is fully charged. It just keeps it fully charged. What you don't want to use is a trickle charger that charges it all the time, because that'll cause the battery to overcharge, and that actually ruins the battery, or can ruin the battery. So you want to use a battery maintainer. That's the right term.
Well, thanks. Thank you, Dan, for that clarification, and thanks to our listeners, too, for sending that text. All right, we'll grab more phone calls and text messages for Dan Burns on CCO's Car Care Show. Same number, whether you want to call in your question or text it, 651-989-9226. And we'll have a look at that forecast coming up here next on Newstalk 830 WCCO. However, at 11 o'clock this morning, we're going to join the Twins Fest at 11 this morning here on WCCO. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here along with Dan Burns, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Sandy, Dan, is on the phone from New Hope. Sandy, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a 2017 Chevy Cruze, and it's pretty simple here. My driver's seat belt is not connecting. I don't know if the male part of a female, if you don't mind those terms. Just roughly, is there any idea what you feel has to be done here and possibly what the cost could incur?
Well, most commonly, it's the receiver part of the seatbelt mechanism that would need to be replaced. And I'm sorry, but I really have no idea what it would cost. Some of those get to be a little bit expensive because, as part of the airbag system, there's a charge built into them that if the airbags deploy, it tightens the seatbelt. And so that can make it a little bit more costly to replace it. I'm sure you're probably looking at least a couple hundred dollars. And usually it's not too big of a deal to replace them.
Okay. I think we have time for one more call and grab some text messages. Gene is calling from Bloomington this morning. Gene, you're on with Dan Burns.
Hi. I have a question. We have a 2015 Chevy Equinox. We've just had it a couple of years, and the seat warmers always worked. And this year when we went to push the button, it doesn't work. So the light doesn't even come on. Do you have any idea what would cause that? And
well, the good news is that the light doesn't even come on, because that's probably a less expensive repair than replacing the grid in the seat. So the fact that the light doesn't come on means that it's got a power or a wiring problem, and the process would be to, you know, maybe start at the switch or start at a fuse or start somewhere along the way and see where the power and ground is not happening. But I think if you took it into your shop and asked them to diagnose that for you, I don't think that the cost of diagnosing it would be very significant. And then at that point, they could give you an estimate as to what it would take to repair it.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Gene. Texter says this, Dan, a 2007 Lincoln MKX all-wheel drive transfer case blew out. The car has 180,000 miles on it. Is it worth fixing? Also, do you think this is a common problem with this vehicle?
I've not heard that to be a common problem with that vehicle. That's a lot of miles on a vehicle, but, you know, without seeing the vehicle, I couldn't tell you the condition of the rest of the vehicle. I think that would be where I would start to make that decision, is maybe have the shop or look at the rest of the vehicle and see if there's any other problems that they foresee, like, you know, are the tires good? Are the brakes good? Is the suspension and steering all good? And if the vehicle still looks good, if you like it, and you don't see any other major repairs down the road, then it probably is worth fixing.
All right, very good. Let's see, another text. Let's see if we can't finish off some text before you leave us today, Dan. It's a 94 F-150. The check engine light is from EGR. So the texter says, I replaced the EGR valve, EGR sending unit, the air solenoid, and a check valve, and that light still won't go out. What else is there?
Well, the EGR valve actually opens to allow air to flow into the engine and mix with the exhaust as it comes out. And on an older vehicle like that, sometimes those passages in the intake manifold or in the engine itself will get clogged with carbon. And so the EGR valve may very well be working, but it's not allowing any air to flow like it's supposed to because it's plugged. So I think that's where I would start looking, is see if the intake is plugged. And if it is, that'll need to be cleaned out, and then you'll probably be back in business.
Okay. Here's a text that says this, Dan. They have a brand new 2021 GMC Sierra, 4 months old, only 1,600 miles on it. And we get this question a lot. For initial oil change, is it best to service by mileage or time due to limited use? Get that a lot these days.
Yeah. Split the difference. I think that's the best answer that I've been offering people is, certainly you don't want to do it, you know, in every 5 months or every 5,000 miles if you're driving it very little, but somehow split the difference between the two. You don't want to go, you know, certainly more than a year without bringing it in for service, no matter how far you drive it. So I think that's the best answer.
Texter wants to know, how often should one change the battery in your personal car?
Well, we find that most commonly, if a battery is 5 years old or older, it will maybe not fail a load test, but it will at least check marginal. So if a battery is 5 years old, it's pretty common that it's a good time for it to be replaced.
Finally,
now, there's all sorts of stories, Diddy, about batteries that have lasted, like we had one here on the boat that lasted 20 years. I mean, so that certainly can happen. But if you don't want to have any trouble and batteries aren't that expensive, then I think if you change it every 5 years, you'll save yourself a headache.
I think that's good advice. Quickly, in about 20 seconds, what are your thoughts, Texter says, about cars that shut off and restart at every stoplight?
Well, they're good for the environment, and we have found that they don't hurt the vehicle at all. But I personally find it kind of annoying. So I I like them to stay running just because I'm old-fashioned. But they seem to be good because they're good for the environment, and they get better gas mileage doing that, which is why they build them into the cars.
Yeah, interesting. All right, how do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's Automotive?
Well, come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net. You can kind of find us on Facebook and Twitter and all that sort of stuff, too. Or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Well, Dan, coming up to 5,000 miles on my oil change, I'll probably be seeing you one of these days at Lloyd's, okay?
Well, I will look forward to that. That'll be great.
Good deal. Thanks, Dan. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell straight ahead. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, get those lawn and garden questions.